Britain. Seaside living. Shore things. Scarcity and sentimentality drive the market for beach huts.
British seaside towns contribute more than their fair share of the country's iconography. Fairground piers, fish and chips, Punch and Judy puppet shows. High on that list are beach huts, those colourful sentinels on the border between land and sea. In the words of Catherine Ferry, a historian and co-founder of the Seaside Heritage Network, which campaigns for a renewed appreciation of the country's often faded coastal resorts. Beach huts are small wooden sheds, often painted in bright pastels, lined side by side up and down the British coast. They're changing rooms, kitchenettes, storage spaces and shelters all in one, with a typical footprint of around 6 foot by 6 foot. They may look like a large box, but their price tag tells a different story. Owning one, particularly in sought-after corners of Dorset or Suffolk, is absurdly expensive. In 2012, incredulous newspaper headlines reported the sale of a hut on Muddiford Spit in Christchurch, a town on England's south coast, for £170,000. That's $270,000 at the time. Now a local estate agent is advertising several for nearly triple that price. Unlike most such places, the Muddiford huts can be slept in, but even the most expensive one, listed at just under £500,000, has no running water. Elsewhere, the cost is less eye-popping, but hardly a steal. Renting one of the 250 or so huts along Westbrook Bay in Margate, a gentrifying town on the southeastern English coast, costs up to £1,400 for the spring and summer. They're not cheap, says Trish Moore, a bay inspector picking litter off the sand on a recent Saturday. Users of the Margate huts have to vacate by sundown, and the huts are moved into storage over the winter. The years-long waiting list for a seasonal hire is currently closed to new applicants. Shorter-term lets for peak times book out a year in advance. Even so, all but a few of the huts were padlocked when your correspondent visited. It just amazes me that people are prepared to pay out that amount and then just not really use them, says Ms. Moore. Why spend so much for a shack on the sand? Supply is very restricted, for one. Local councils limit the construction of new ones so as not to spoil the view. Huts rarely come onto the market. They are handed down between generations and become yearly meeting places for communities of families. Ask owners, though, and they'll use words like quintessential and iconic, describing beach huts as part of the fabric of Britain's history. A Quaker in Margate is said to have invented the precursor to beach huts in the 18th century. The bathing machine was a wooden box on wagon wheels with a staircase descending from the front door. A horse drew it out to sea where swimmers could privately step out and into the water under a pull-down canvas umbrella. A few dunks in cold seawater were said to be curative, which explains why the use of bathing machines spread among the affluent. Queen Victoria had one specially designed. She used it for dips during holidays on the Isle of Wight. Eventually, however, the horses were dispensed with and the wheels disappeared. Stationary huts multiplied and became available to working-class holidaymakers who had won the right in the 1930s to paid time off. By the 1970s, when air travel to sunnier spots abroad had become more affordable, beach huts were relatively cheap. But particularly this century, prices have only gone one way, says Dominic Padovani of Durrance Estate Agents in Southwold, a mecca for huts on the Suffolk coast. Prices jumped further during the COVID-19 pandemic as people took more holidays in Britain and many families decided to move out of big cities. The market has since started to level out. Tighter proposed rules on holiday rental homes in England could be a factor. Many beach hut owners have a rental property in the adjoining town. If they sell the bigger property, they may jettison the hut too. But few people expect demand to fade. If nothing else, the beach hut offers one of the priceless moments in British seaside life. Watching someone scramble to their car when the skies open up, while you sit, smug snug and dry, sipping tea in your tiny wooden refuge.